Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the world.
Yeah, now you're now ready to take up your calling. Really? Now you know what it is. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, that song, I'll Wait for You. Hey, even Mish is back. Mishaya. Praise God. You're looking good. Glory to God. So, you know when Jesus was asked about what will be the signs of the end time, he mentioned something which so many people skip a lot, and which actually is the major sign that we are living in the end times. Only it is very subtle, and for the most part, people do not realize that we are walking right into the midst of it. When you look in that chapter in Matthew, where he's talking about the end time, what will be the signs of the end of the age, and of your coming, Matthew chapter 24. Now they asked him the first thing, go from where they start. Now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and on the end of the age? Now, of course, they sat at the Mount of Olives, which is also the mount where Jesus is going to come and set foot on earth, and what is called the second coming, where he's going to come now as the king and set foot on the Mount of Olives. And the scripture actually says the mountain will divide itself into two. Now, it says, and what will be the sign of the end of the age? The next verse, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, you see, so many people miss this because they think deceiving is the same as lying. And maybe in the English language, they are not too dissimilar. But they are totally different in the context in which they are used here. When he says, take heed that no one deceives you, deception is totally different from lying. Lying is just a presentation of an untruth. Now, deception is a presentation of an untruth in a way that it is presented as true, and in a way that it cajoles and convinces. Actually, the closest word to it is seduce. Take heed that nobody seduces you. And so you see, when somebody is deceiving, it's a whole, you know, physical, spiritual process by which the enemy comes and deceives. Now, first of all, he cannot deceive somebody unless they have created a proper atmosphere for him to deceive. Now, when he's coming, you see in the book of, when it's talking about Jesus going into the wilderness, and it says he went alone in the wilderness, and he's alone, and he's separated, and he's divided. Now, the enemy will come with a lot of demonic forces which are coming from all over, actually summoned from all over, just to come and fill the atmosphere and create an atmosphere of depression. Now, that's part of the deception process, because it's not just coming and finding you in a happy place. So he creates an atmosphere where you're weak, you're depressed, you're discouraged. Nothing seems to be working out, and it's all done in the spirit. And then within that atmosphere, when that has been set, that's when he comes and starts tempting Jesus. He doesn't tempt him when he's, you know, in the... So he first creates a conducive atmosphere, just like seducing. Okay? There are certain places you cannot seduce somebody. Those who are good at seducing, like Akenda. The environments in which you cannot what? But you have to create a conducive environment. Now, the devil knows that in which he comes and, you know, I could have given other examples, but I give the one of I could kill his work either because I know it's what. But there are those whom I can see and they are good at what? At the art. Anyway, so he says, beware that you are not deceived. And now, deception will happen when the enemy has created an atmosphere of total discouragement. Something is not working out, you're fading, you look ahead of you and there is no light, you don't see where you're going, it is not clear, and you're in a very, very bad place. Then, that's when the seduction happens. And the seduction comes as a solution that is going to sort that problem, and it comes in a nice, you know, cajoling way. Let me tell you this story. When I was in campaigns last time, I was out in the field, and my wife was a bit scared, I'm sure, about my safety. So, the enemy comes to her in a dream. Now, when he comes in a dream, he has come. Some of you think you are dreaming. No, he's not dreaming. He has come. And he says that you can come and we work together. I will offer him protection. I will protect him. Now, he comes at a point where, do you understand what I'm saying? He finds when there is something, he creates a scenario. So he says, no, nothing will happen to me. We'll offer him protection. And what, you come and work together. And work together and you can continue going to church and continue, you know, blah, blah, blah and all that. Yeah, I don't have any problem with you going to church. And all. And he presents it in a very easy thing, easy way. Come and, you know, let's work together. Now you're dreaming, but you're not dreaming. Amen? You're not what? If in the dream you decide to work with him, when you come out of the dream, you're going to work with him. The decision has been made at the level of your spirit. And that one is very, very difficult. It's easier to make the decision there and you go than when you make it here. A lot of the deception happens in the spirit, by the way. So, of course, she refused. Praise the Lord. And that ended. But my point is that it can easily cajole, because what's the one thing you're scared of? Now, what if something happens to me? Then we have young children here. Then what? Bichi, bichi, bichi. Then the devil comes with a solution. We can protect. So when she told me that, I told her that he's going to protect you from himself. Because he's the only one who wants harm for me. So now he's offering you protection from him. You see how deception works. Anyway, my point is this. And now you see some many people, by the way, come out of those dreams and you've entered into a decision. And when you come outside here, you actually leave that decision. You leave it. L-I-V-E. That you find yourselves following that decision because it was made there. And by the way, I'll tell you this. I suspect that even a lot of our lives, our decisions were made that side. That's why you find people, when I was reading history of certain people, you find somebody who comes out and for him from beginning to end, he is evil, there is no good in him, there is no chance, like he has decided this is the direction he's going to go. And when you study their life from the beginning, there's that man who these musicians worship him a lot. They have him in their music videos. Aleister Crowley. She was one of the first people who introduced a lot of, you know, that deep Satanism into art, into the especially music. The man said that I just decided that I wanted the side of the devil. And I didn't just want to be on the side of the devil, I wanted to be his high priest. And so that's how he lived his life. And from childhood, you see the person comes out, and that's how he lives. So it looks like the other world, we made our decision. Because sometimes when I even look at my own life, where so many times you could have taken a different turn, but you don't. It's like as if you're living a certain path. And when was that path set? Anyway, that might not fit into your theological knowledge, but I'm telling you that there are certain things which you look and say, this person could not have ended up any other way. Because they came out and... But I think it is true because, anyway, there are scriptures to prove it. But my point is this. Deception is cajoling. It is not the same as telling a lie. It is seduction. And it comes in a way that the lie and the truth are so similar. And that's what people don't understand about this end time. That the truth and the lies are going to become very difficult to distinguish unless you have a discerning spirit. Very difficult. Somebody comes and he looks truth. Everything about him is truth. When you study what he says, amen? There is nothing that you can come out and say that is a lie, but yet actually, everything about him is demonic. Praise the Lord. Now, when deception is at its beginning, it's so easy to tell. You're lying. You're lying. But now, that's when still lying. But now when it goes to the point of deception, you cannot know. And it's so difficult for anybody to tell. That was how Balaam, the son of Beor, was. 1 minute he's a prophet, the other minute he's a witch. Now you don't know which is which. You remember in the book of Numbers 23? So now you saw who is Balaam. He comes out, the Bible calls him a prophet. And God is speaking to him. And he actually has the word of God. And he has the power of God. Because they had hired him to go and curse Israel. And Balak, the king of Moab, knew that if he curses Israel, Israel will be cursed. And because God knew that Balaam had the power to curse Israel, he decided not to let his tongue curse Israel. So when he went to try to curse Israel, he ended up blessing them. But the reason God changed his tongue is because he knew if he had cursed them, they would be cursed. Now, but he's there. 1 minute he's a prophet, the other minute he's a witch. You see, eh? Now, these are the days of the end when you will not know which is which. Somebody comes, he looks very right, very okay, and even sometimes has the word of God, but somewhere there, you do not know what happened. Now, these are not going to be few, by the way. I'm telling you this because you have to get a discerning spirit to know that if you don't feel comfortable within you, just cheat it. Eh? Because some of them would even have started very well, like Balaam, the son of Beor. And the scripture says that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Because usually what makes them turn the other side, and what Balak told Balaam, is that I'm going to give you a lot of wealth. I'm going to make you a rich man. Just come and curse Israel for me. Okay? You see, some people say that it doesn't matter if somebody... But you see, Balak, the king of Moab, saw the children of Israel, and there were so many, and he was dreadfully scared of them. Only that he knew he could not attack them and defeat them in battle. So he first called the prophet, stroke witch, to come and curse them. Then he said, when you curse them, I will be able to do what? To defeat them. But you see, God made sure he does not do it, because it would have had power. But here is my point, is that in these end times, there is going to be a very thin line between prophet, stroke, fake person. Very thin line. And they will be doing the same, more or less the same things. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21? Eh? Remember what he said? You don't remember. Okay. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Then he says, many will say to me in that last day. How many? A few? Many will say to me in that last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now you see, there are many. And he did not say, you're lying, you did not prophesy. They did. In his name. He did not tell them, no, you're lying, you did not pray for the sick. They did pray for the sick in his name. But he said he did not know them. They were workers of iniquity. Now, what scared me is he says many. Many will come. And they, because now imagine the people to whom they were prophesying. Did they have any idea that God does not know these people? Imagine you go, somebody prophesies, it is true. Somebody casts out demons, it is true. Somebody prays for the sick, it is true. And that is happening. Okay? But as far as Jesus is concerned, now, the line between, of course, some people go the other way. I remember I used to go and preach to Jehovah's Witness people. And I tell them that Jesus, because the one thing, I used to like telling them this, do you cast out demons? Then they say, no, what? Then I say, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons. So if you don't cast out demons, you don't believe. Then the guy would show me this scripture. But he said, so many will say, that they cast out demons. And he will say, I never knew you. So it would be draw. But the reality is, and the Jehovah's Witness had this in their mind. By the, that's one of the stubbornest spirit to evangelize to. They are so convinced in their deception. Now that's the power. If you want to see the power of deception, you go and encounter a Jehovah's Witness. You see somebody who is convinced about a lie. And he doesn't need any verification. In his mind, he's thoroughly convinced about a lie. Even has the books, Watchtower, what, you know, those things, where they console themselves and so on. And the others, who are so convinced. Have you ever spoken, have you ever tried to evangelize a Seventh-day Adventist? And for him, you would say that, you people, you pray on Sunday. That is the mark of the what? The beast. I used to tell them, no, for me, I pray on Friday. Not on Sunday. But you see, for them, you pray on Saturday, you're going to heaven, sorted. And now the one thing they have is they are so, they teach. Now on Saturday, on their Sabbath, they arrive in whatever, early in the morning. And then they teach. You see, they teach. You don't like being taught. Those people, it's like a real lesson. It's like Sabbath school. They call it Sabbath school. A real lessons, the way you learn, they go Bible. Of course, confusing the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when the New Testament clashes with the Old Testament, they throw out Paul and say Jesus is greater than Paul. Some of them, they have their confusion there. And but they teach and they indoctrinate. They totally indoctrinate. Now, that's actually one thing which I have noticed about we in the born-again church. We do not have that level of indoctrination. Because there are people who are in the church and they don't know anything about what they believe. You ask them what they believe. They don't know nothing. You ask them basic things about faith, what, they don't know anything. Now, you go and talk to a Seventh Day, typical Seventh Day, about what he believes. They believe. And they know what they believe. There used to be a program long time ago on radio where different people of different religions would argue. They used to call it Manyachokiriza. I realized that it is the Baroko who don't know what they believe. Because it would have Muslims, it would have Baroko, it would have Catholics, all those people, Catholics, would come and split their doctrine properly. Now, you ask, then they would ask the pastor there, something which has a very simple reference in the scripture. Then he starts explaining. Oh, man, what? And then somehow I stopped listening because it would look like as if the other guys are flowering. What? Flowering the pastor. It's like the pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. So I checked listening to them. But anyway, my point is this. Those people know how to teach and totally indoctrinate. Now, getting somebody who has been taught like that properly out of that thing, my God, because he is thoroughly convinced about it. Thoroughly convinced. Anyway, my point is this. At some stage, as I said, the dividing line between, now forget about those simple doctrinal things for Seventh Day, that one you can decide, discern which is which. I'm talking about spirituality. In spirituality, the line is very thin Okay? Is very thin. Because we are called to prophesy, we are called to heal the sick, we are called to do all those things. But then there are people who are doing them by different power. Now, the people out there have to be discerning. Otherwise, we all look the same. And somebody has a different person on the throne of their heart. And there are now many, very, very many. Many. Now here in Uganda, they have a choice. You've heard about Bachwezi? Eh. Now those people, they have a real religion which has taken root in Western Uganda. Now it's in universities. It's serious in universities. Where they say, not all Bachwezi are what? Are evil. Hara Bachwezi are very queer. And you listen to them and you realize that people are in a very... And some of them take up that thing innocently. Because they are looking for some power to accomplish something. And what the devil has to offer, for the most part, is expediency. You don't want to wait. God has his path to what he wants to do with you. And for you, you are in a bit of a hurry. So, you sacrifice your soul at the altar of expediency. And then you find yourself going somewhere where there is a promise for it to happen very fast. Okay? And I've usually it is about what, when somebody wants something, that sort of thing. I remember, you go to James chapter 1, start from verse 13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now that is a powerful thing. Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. There is a desire they have for something. And that desire is so strong that they are willing to do so much for it. Praise the Lord. There is no telling how far they are ready to go to achieve that desire. I remember somebody came to me who was like that some years ago, that must have been around 2015. And his biggest desire is he wanted to be a member of parliament. And he was born again at the time. So he came and he wanted to be MP and the people of my, the things which people say when they want to be. They say the people have spoken that I should stand. And sometimes he ends up with no votes after the people have spoken. But my point is, the guy came and he was saying, the people, what, I want to stand, what? So he said, pray for me. But then there are some people you just realize that you're wasting your time. Because there is no faith involved whatsoever. They just want you to conjure some magic. God has never been like that. There has to be faith involved. You have to believe that. You remember Jesus told the blind man, Bartimaeus? He told him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Then he said, yes, I believe. If he didn't, Jesus cannot. And Jesus is God. So if you do not add faith of your own, there is nothing. But you see, because people come from cultures of witch doctors where there is no faith required. You just go and, of course there is some bit of faith, but you just go and do what? And the guy does some things and what, and things happen. So there is no faith involved. But you see, I looked at the guy and I said, this guy, he's not good. He's like, I'm wasting time. But anyway, in order to be politically correct, I prayed. And it did not happen. Because I didn't think it would. Now remember what the scripture says in Hebrews 4:12. That the word did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. Now when you do not have real faith, the word is not going to profit you anything. You listen to the words that are being spoken here, and you will live, and there will be no difference in your life whatsoever. For the word of God is Hebrews 4:2. What does it say? For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Faith in those who heard it, not faith in those who preached it. Those who preached it had faith, but was not mixed in faith with those who heard the word. So now I told this guy, okay, let us pray. What? Okay, what? You know. So the guy went to stand for MP. So he flanked very badly. Then later on, his wife came to me. She said he put a case in court. But when he put the case in court of irregular whatever, this time he went to a witch doctor. And the witch doctor told him, bring what, you know, those things. And now you see at the beginning, it comes easy. They present it in a certain way, where it looks like, easy. But let me tell you, those people, you see them, you see when the devil comes to people who have never gone to for him. When you go to him, he is going to create a miracle like this until he, like, so anyway, he went to a witch doctor. I know because the wife told me. And they eventually separated because Fuash was born again. And the witch doctor said, in order for the case to be dismissed, do a BC. Now you see, he wanted badly to be an MP. You see, everyone is drawn away by their what? Desire. That's what scripture says. He's drawn away by his own desires. He wanted badly to be an MP. He was very restless. I think he had even taken some loans, and you're expecting to pay them back when they give them that money for cars. You know that money which they give you, about 300 million for cars. One day I was talking to to an MP, and people were angry. These people are getting money for cars. And the MP told me, let me tell you something. There is not a single MP who even has 1 shilling left on their account. The bank, they are in debt. As soon as the money lands, the bank takes it. See, he said that you see those MPs, that money for cars, none of them is going to buy a car, not one. All of them are in debt. And as soon as the money lands on the bank takes all of it. Anyway, my point is this. That was besides the point. My point is, each one is drawn away by his own desire. So this man was bad, the one. Anyway, he went to a witch doctor. And guess what happened? The election was overturned. It was overturned. And they did the by-election. And he won the by-election. You should see him now. Very, very, very miserable. First of all, it took about 2 years for the election to be over. Then, so by the time he entered parliament, he was definitely like 2 years of the five. And he never came back. That's what the devil does. And you have lost your life. You've lost everything. Everything. Because of that. He lost his life, his wife, his, you know, because of that. But he wanted it so badly. And I could see he wanted it so badly. And now I'm here to tell you something. That there's nothing you want that God cannot give you. Amen? But number one, God is more interested in you than in that. You see, eh? Because there are things which if he gave you before time, they would destroy you. Number two, you have to, God is a participator with you. He's not a bystander. Like, anything you get from him, you have to participate. That's why it says the word did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. There has to be faith in you. That's why almost, I think about 90% of the people who Jesus healed, he says, your faith has what? Has made you well. Because you're a participator in this. And by the way, there is nothing without any form of faith. There has to be something where somebody, the only person actually I think who there was no such thing, is the man for whom the Jews came and said that, you know, he has helped us, he built a synagogue and what. Then Jesus said, okay, I will heal his person who was sick. But they interceded for him. Okay? Because in any case, Jesus wasn't supposed to heal people who are not what? Who are not Jews. But the Jews came and interceded and said, you know, this man has been good to us, even built for us a synagogue. Then Jesus said, okay, in that case. So, I'm saying he said he was not healing non-Jews back then. Okay? Not now. So anyway, my point is that the centurion came to him pleading with him. Okay, let's not go there. This was just by the way. But You see, everyone is led away by their desire. And sometimes the desires are not that big. They are simple desires. They are not that grand. Like, you know, somebody wants to be an MP or something like that. Sometimes they are very simple desires. But somehow they are magnified in somebody's what? Eyes. Me, I want to get married. Huh? So somebody comes and they are ready to give up a lot of things to get married. And let me tell you this. Once the enemy sees that that is the number one thing you want, he's going to present for you a way out of it. Very, 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 as assuredly as what? Once he sees that's your desire, he's going to present to you a very, very perfect way out of it. Then you get somebody who is ready to give you that. But at what cost? That's how they said, that's where the seducing comes in. Now the seducing moves from the spirit even to the flesh. So somebody comes and is the man of your dreams. You know, he does everything you've ever dreamt about. The things you watch in those Mexican soap operas on Telemundo. Those men don't exist. Men who are driving convertibles. You know, let me tell you, television is very dangerous. Because it shows people who are driving convertibles, who have very flat stomachs and are very rich. Those ones are not there. Those who are rich have stomachs like mine. That's just acting. So now, so they create a fantasy which is not there. So you have a picture in your mind. And you don't know that picture is creating a desire. So then somebody comes who has all of the above. You know, he's this, he's the other. And see, those soaps, they never show you people working. They only show you people spending money. They show you at the beach, and then they put on shades. And you know, those guys look good, man. Those Latinos. The guy puts on shades and takes off his shirt, and man, when you compare him with me, you say, ah, man. You say, but for your hard work. So now, anyway, so now that guy, you dare be there, and in your mind, that's the one thing you want, and then that desire exceeds your desire for God. You will see how that person will show up with all of that wonderful word, this, that. Then he will come, and it's part of a deception process, and then ensue. And I've seen that happen quite a bit, even among us here. And then, of course, they'll first tell you, yeah, you know, I'm a Muslim, but I don't mind you going to church, what? You know, I don't mind what? You can go to church, what? Me, I don't what? You try. You'll see. You'll see what happens. You know, the thing about deception is very... But my point is this, that was even besides the point. It is everyone is drawn away by his own what? Desires. And now those desires, if they are not rooted in God, they are very dangerous. They can even be good desires, something you really genuinely want to do. Okay? People have gone to the devil to be helped in how to serve God. And then they say, I've had people say these things, that, you know, Njidi, tenyumanga to ina saint. Katugere tufune saint, wanatuje tubudide Njidi. And... Okay, some people did not go to the devil, but some... I remember back then, when we were young evangelists, I used to see people saying, somebody got a powerful job, and he organizes crusades, and then he goes and preaches, and then he's using his salary. So I convinced myself that that's the best way to do it. You get a good job, use your salary to preach the gospel. But then somewhere along the way, I realized, but doesn't God have enough money to look after his own gospel? Why is it that God is so broke? He needs my effort. And then I read that scripture which says those who preach the gospel must do what? Must leave off the gospel. Then I said it means God does not intend that people who are preaching the gospel during the day are working on a computer. I mean, you can go and preach, my point is, but... And then in the evening you go and preach. He has his ways of financing the gospel. Now the question was, then when I found that out, is then how are those ways? How does he finance it? Anyway, that's a matter for another day. But let's just say I found out, praise the Lord, that he has his way of financing and it's effective. So, everyone is drawn away by his own desires. Desires and enticed. Of course, he's enticed by something. Now, there's something you want and it's in front there. And the devil comes and entices you. Come, I'll give it to you. Now, the one thing he often does where he gets so many people is, I told you, he can give it to you in a hurry. He says, no, I'll give it to you in a hurry. But then, like, if you want to track the life of the people who have gone down that road, you'll know that God's way is the best. Praise the Lord. God's way is what? The best. You cannot beat it. Like, you come and present something. And the thing is, if you actually took time to study God's way, you would know you don't need that at all. It's just that the commitment people have to God's way. Like I told you, that man, when he came to me, I realized he was just trying out something. You know? He was just trying to see how, let's see how this works. And he was putting it all on me. I'm supposed to be the one to whatever. And I knew it wasn't going to work like that. Because even Jesus never worked like that. Where you come and say, let's see. Let's see if you can heal this person. It never worked like that at all. You know what the Pharisees did when they came and asked him? The Pharisees came and told him that what? Show us a sign. Then he told them, you, whatever. He blasted them, used some words there. And said that no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. And he refused to do any sign whatsoever. And then when they had gone, he walked down the street and healed somebody. You can't make him show, like, to Lage. Who do you think you are? I mean, so you see, some people think that you can put God in a place where he has to prove. Have you ever seen these atheists? That if God is like this, what? Let him prove. Prove what? You wait and go to hell. Like, God is God. You can never put him in a place. He's not insecure that you are going to tell him, show us, to Lage. Show us what you can do. No. That's not how. So, they come and tell Jesus, show us a sign. Of course he can. But he tells them, you no sign will be shown to you except the sign of Jonah. And then he goes on. When he meets somebody who really wants healing, he heals him. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so he says, each one is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now when you understand that word desire, because we have so many of them, people desire things. I desire this, I desire that, and so on. And some of them desire to be in a group, as part of a certain group. You know, there are groups here where, exclusive groups, where people meet, and, you know, apparently these rich people, and all that, and, you know, if you want to enter into their circles, there are certain things you have to do. Let me tell you the first one. The first thing you have to do is be siag. Homosexuality. That's the entry into the circle of the devil. Like, there is no circle of the devil which that is not the entry. That is the actual spirit of the Antichrist. The actual spirit of the Antichrist. Because it goes to the beginning of the creation where it says he made them man and what? Woman. Now, the devil tries to come and, you see, he's trying to go back to Genesis. And like as if undo everything God did. Now the first sign, all those whatever, you're a young movie star, you want to become a star and also be acting very powerful movies. All of them, the entry point is that homosexuality. That's it. Now, and then they say, then we'll welcome you into what? Into our circles. Then your work is to go and recruit what? Other people. I remember some pastor who told me that story of how I met him in Imbarara. He was telling me how he met. He was an evangelist, what, you know, those things. Doing those things of working a job, then going and doing crusades. But he was a man who feared God. So he meets some Muzungu, and the Muzungu tells him that, what, how can we help you preach the gospel? A lady. Then he said that, I want some powerful instruments for public, public speaking. I want a car to transport them. I want, you know, some sort of small stage where they can set up. He was somebody who was really passionate about evangelism, crusades and all that. So, the lady tells him that, you come to Kampala and we can arrange that for you. So he comes to Kampala excited. Katonda anviriddeyo. So he arrives here excited. Then he meets the lady somewhere. If I remember well, somewhere around Kansanga, somewhere. There's a certain club where. So he went there. The lady told him that if you want to us to give you what you want, and even a lot more, she even offered, she said, we'll even give you a van where you transport people who are going to preach the gospel and so on. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but you have to join our tribe. So the guy says, your tribe? What tribe is that? You're a Muzungu. We can't be the same tribe. Said, you have to first join our tribe. Then the lady says, in our tribe, men don't marry women, and women don't marry men. Then that's when the guy realized Katonda has not moved the yod. So, but she told him that after he even came with some people to, you know, to witness this powerful miracle. So she had given him some money already before telling him that. They're usually sharp. So he took the money, went, got things. Then when she told him that, he said, no, I'm not going to join your tribe. That's not what I preach. What? The woman said, then you're going to have to bring back my money. He said, unfortunately, I spent it. You didn't tell me that. What? You didn't give me the terms and conditions. Cut a long story short, the man ended up in prison because of the money. But he did not join the tribe. Now, imagine those people. Now, when you see that these things exist a lot in the church, it is not by accident, it's by design. Amen? There's a lot of it in the Pentecostal church, a lot of it, and it's by design. Somebody sat and said, we are going for these people, and they used the money. It did not just happen. When you see a trend which has taken off, somebody put in hard work to get it there. You see, trends don't just happen. You see, in social media, they say something is trending. You see, trending means somebody put in effort to make it trend. Then that effort, they reward people who keep up the trend. You understand? So if you have somebody who comes and they start a trend, and usually it's those demonic people, and they start it, and then they will give you certain marks somewhere for keeping up the trend. I remember, you see this environment thing, eh? Environmental what? Environment, climate change, what? Which? It's all rubbish. It's all actually total horse manure. There is no change of climate, which is like, it's all rubbish. Rubbish based on lies, 311. But somebody put in money to make it like that. I remember when I was a journalist, there was a guy who was the first climate reporter. He was the guy who used to report about climate. What? And man, that guy had a nice time. Because he would be attending conferences all over the world with a big per diem. Somebody is spending money to create a narrative of the climate is about what. Now remember this guy. You tell him, hey, so where were you? He said, man, last week I was in Barcelona. We had whatever. The other day, man, I was in Sacramento. We had whatever. The other day, I was in Rio de Janeiro. I know those days when you're young and what, you just imagine traveling the whole world, what? Then I said, man, I went into a fake thing sports. I should have been an environmental, what? Environmental reporter. So that was where I traveled the world. The guy traveled. He was never at base. Now somebody is putting, now you see the whole world people are, now they even put in money to take, put a course about universities based on a lie, a total lie. Then they put universities, then what? You know, now the problem is Morocco are not good at starting those trends. And God wants us to start trends like that. He gives you the thing to start a trend. Now go and start this. Get it, you know, and make, but you're overwhelmed. Let me tell you, those people, when they come, Even all these things you see, even those we see and what, somebody paid money to keep start that trend. But now they no longer have to pay money. It is self-sustaining. Praise the Lord. Not for that. So my point is this, that all these things that you see, they don't just happen. That it happened everywhere. Now, you know, there are even things we are even on social media. If you are promoting something which fits those people who own those things, your following will go up like this. Sure. Very fast. And you have many followers. And you will not know when the people start following me. No, as long as they read your texts and you're promoting something which they want to promote, they will give you followers whom you don't know. The next thing you know, you have 1 million followers because they are rewarding you for promoting their thing. And now that's how it works. So then what happens? Everybody starts jumping there. So now there are people who, there is usually one person who starts a trend, then people jump on the trend, then people are influencers, people who influence. You see, the same way they were doing during COVID, where people somehow influence you. You take on their whole thing and you become passionate about it. Why aren't you putting on a mask? You're not putting on a mask. And you find a security guard at a bank telling you to put on a mask. How did he get to that point where a security guard is even telling a doctor to put on a mask because it's good for him? How did he get to that a security guard is... You see, now that's how those people build their things. So even if you're a doctor, the security guard will say, put on your mask. It is good for you. You're saying as who? as a security. So all these things that you see, these people are desire to enter into a club. And then you get into a place. And then they tell you now, in order to enter this club, you have to do ABC. This is end time, by the way. Don't play around. That is your soul. Your soul. Like when you enter those, just know, when you see something like that, just know you're staring in the fires of hell. It is very dangerous. That's why Jesus told the people, beware that you're not deceived. Because they'll say, if you want to be part of this community of what? Wealthy people. You have to become a Freemason. You don't. Praise the Lord. Or you have to join this club. We have to join the other club. Then they start sending you all over the world. And the purpose of doing that is, I remember how those people, especially during Obama, Obama was the world number one champion of BCAG. Like, all those people, the people I knew in town, who were in that practice, all of them were driving very sleek cars. Those guys were driving very powerful cars. And the purpose of them driving the cars was that young men come and say, Muchikola Mutia. Then they tell them, you can enter the club. And I saw it happen. Because you see, I like sitting at cafes and what, and that's where they would be sitting. So I'm there having my coffee, you see them here, and then you see them enticing a young boy. And you see him going down and you are like, man. But you know, somebody's a waiter, he's a man, earning this, what, you know, living a very tough life. Then these people show you that, you know, this life is possible. And so because desire. So, and now in the end time, Jesus said, as it was in the days of what? Lot. You remember what it was like in the days of Lot? Very, very important, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, what people also don't know, that the days of Noah as well, he said that because the days of Noah, there was a very little, almost hardly distinction between spirits and human beings. And now people don't realize that that is the case now. There are people whom you encounter and you think is a human being, but he's a spirit. There are people whom the Bible calls sons of the devil, real sons of the devil. They are not human. I know some of them. And some of them are rich, some of them are... And they pass around like this. Now you think you can convince me that Mark Zuckerberg is human? He's not. He's a lizard. Like you see, there are people who have... They have the seed of the serpent. And they came as a result of union between a demon and a person. And now that is happening. That's how it was in the days of Noah. It says, as it was in the days of Noah. Okay? Remember how it was in the days of Noah. Now we are seeing that now. Go to Genesis. As it was in the days of Noah, so would it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now first go to Genesis 6. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now these are spirits, whom we call the sons of God. These are spirits. These were actually angelic spirits at the time. And they came and came in union with women. And they gave birth to people who looked human, but they were not human, because they did not have the human DNA. They did not have the human sperm from which they came. And now this is happening today. So there are people whom I can look at and know this one is not a person. But they are on TV talking and say this one is not. This one is the seed of the serpent. They are there. And I'm telling you, after some time you realize them. But they come and mix among people. And then some of you even meet them and try to preach to them the gospel. And they can't be saved because they are the seed of the serpent. Okay? Now here when it says the sons of God, they were actually angels. They were actually angelic spirits. They were the lowest angels, who the Bible calls watchers. The lowest version of angels who God sends to dwell among men. Okay? To help men in their normal life. Okay? And you've encountered them sometimes, angels I mean. You've encountered them sometimes and you don't know they are angels. When you're in a tight spot, then somebody shows up and helps you and, you know. And it happens all the time. And there is nobody here who has not encountered an angel. It is not possible. You just see something could have happened, then, you know, somebody shows up. Some have been spectacular. I remember some pastor who said that they were, in the days of Konyi, they were going through from Gulu to Kitgum, in one of the worst times in that insurgency. And they got a flat tire. And they didn't have a jack. And so they were stranded. They could not change the tire. They did not have, you know, the jack. So a man came driving a car and told them what's wrong. So when they realized they were in serious trouble, it was late in the night. So they just started praying in tongues. Then they see lights coming. Then a man comes in a car. Then he says, what's the problem? We don't have a jack. He says, it's okay. You let me lift the car and you change the tire. Now, when you encounter angels, your senses are a bit suspended. So you don't realize that there is no way a man can lift a car. So the man said, okay, are you ready? So he just lifted the car like this. Then they removed the tire, then put another tire. Then they thought it was normal. So then he jumped in the car and went. Now the person, when they reached Kitgum, they told somebody the story. The person laughed and said, that's not possible. But that happened. But of course, it was an angel. Oh God. But they show up anywhere, anytime. And I remember some old lady actually told me a story when she was a very elderly lady. And she was taking a flight from somewhere in Europe, coming here. She used to have a Bible school here. Very old lady. So she was late for the flight. Then she was coming, walking slowly. Then she saw the desk close where the attendants were. The desk closed. And the attendants left because, you know, time for checking in people was over. So she was trying to shout, what? The desk closed. Then she went, reached there. Then there was somebody standing at the desk. Then the person told her, where are you going? She said, I'm flying to Entebbe, Uganda. Then processed for her a boarding pass. And did it. Then told her, come, we go. Then he ran with her. And she didn't realize that she can't run. But when she was standing next to him, she ran. And he ran with her, then reached where now she joined the other passengers. And then she turned around, the guy had gone, had disappeared. So it happens all the time. Now those are the Bible calls them watchers. Every one of you has met them. There's no chance you have not met them. They show up in hard times, God just sends them to, you know. Anyway, my point is, these guys, they started admiring women. Okay? These days they also admire men. And then they started doing what? Giving birth to children. And then those children became giants and became a big problem. But what God did to those angels is he bound them in chains. And if you read the story of the book of Enoch, he's the one who says how God was so angry with them because he said they have spoiled the human race. And they came and asked Enoch to go and plead with God for them. And God said, no, they have caused a lot of confusion among human beings because they have mixed seed. So the scripture says in Jude that he has bound them in chains, everlasting chains for waiting the day of judgment. But now my point is, as it was in the days of then, so is it now. And now there are people who you see out there. And now when deception is so clear, you're dealing with somebody and you don't know you're dealing with a spirit. And you think you're dealing with a human being. And there are many, I'm telling you, you are going to encounter them. And then the thin line between the other side and this side, where you need proper discernment. And by discernment, I don't mean looking and saying, you know what, to tell what is, you know. And then you also have to know where to go and where not to go. Because there are people, you go somewhere and you get somebody laying hands on you. But people you don't know. I know people who were okay until somebody laid hands on them. Like, you have to be very careful about those things. Somebody lays hands on you, the next minute you're dreaming when a man is chasing you to sodomize you. And then you know the spirit is what? Is after you. Now, and man, that's... anyway, my point is that... okay, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness for the judgment of the great day. These are the angels who slept with what? With the other angels cannot sleep with human beings because they are too glorious. They are angels which are too glorious for that. But these ones are what the normal, the lowest version of angels. Anyway, my point is, it says, and when he's drawn away, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desire. Desire to enter a certain club. Desire to be rich. Desire to be accepted. Desire to get something. And then you are drawn away and enticed. Says, and enticed. I said, then when desire has conceived. Now, imagine desire conceiving. In other words, like it gets a baby. You conceive. Desire has conceived. Now it starts off as just a normal desire. Everybody has desires for something. You desire to get something, to get this, to get that, and so on. But when that desire exceeds a certain level, then now it says desire has conceived. It gives birth to sin. Now sin is not what you are thinking of. Sin is like cutting you off from what? From the presence of God. And then he says, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So now imagine from desire to death. Okay? It looks like a simple progression, but it's not simple. Because the minute you have that desire that exceeds your desire for God. Now, I had one person say this, and I thought it was a very good thing. And it was a preacher. And she said that she settled it in her heart. That if God doesn't want her to have anything, she does not want to have it as well. And if God wants her to have something, she will go ahead and what? And pursue it the godly way. But now, if you are deceived that there is something good that God is withholding from you, you will end up in it with a fake desire. But there is nothing good that God withholds from his children. The scripture says that. There is nothing good he withholds from his children. That's what it says. So, now, in these end times, remember what Jesus said. Many will say that, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? I'm sure you've heard people who are doing wonders, eh? And they all use Jesus. But you see, if you're a simple person, you'll be deceived. Not every Jesus is the Jesus you know. Eh? Amen? Eh. There are so many Jesuses. There are so many Jesuses. It's just a name. It's just that when you're saying the name of Jesus, you in the spirit, they know which Jesus you're talking about. You understand? Eh? But there's another Jesus who used to pray for Man City, who now prays for us. So you might be talking about that what? That Jesus. There are so many Jesuses. He plays for us, doesn't he? But he's perpetually injured. There is that Jesus. So now, when you hear somebody saying Jesus, Jesus, you think he's talking about the Jesus you worship. No, he might not be. And you hear them saying those things. You know, Jesus appeared to me and told me this. Now there's somebody saying, I had someone saying, Jesus appeared to him and told him something, and I knew that is a lie. That, you see, let me tell you, like somebody can tell you Jesus told him something, and you know it's a lie, because if it does not line up properly with scripture, it's a lie. You might be lying, nobody appeared to him, but even if somebody appeared to him, that wasn't Jesus. Because it does not fit in the scripture. You see? Anyway, so, the thin line, what I wanted to tell you about as we go into Holy Communion, the thin line, very thin line, between, and yet we are not going to run away from prophesying and casting out demons. Amen? We can't run away from that is the Spirit of God and doing wonders in the name of Jesus. Our Jesus, you understand? But I'm just warning you that you have to be discerning, completely discerning to know that this is right. There's a lot of confusion now about Bachwezi, what? And now there's this Bachwezi thing which has taken root, and is coming from State House, from those people. They have popularized that stupid Bachwezi thing. Stupid people with a stupid God. And then they make it look like it's some kind of religion. It's not. It's demonic. It's the devil. It's hell. But because they have some sort of, they have power and what and people, so they want people come into our club. Eh? Come here, the club where I worship what? Bachwezi. Then you see where they go for that Bachwezi power. Somewhere in Hoima. You know the Bachwezi were in Bunyoro. There's a certain hill they go to. Including that old man. They go there. Stupid people. Praise the Lord. Stupid what? Yeah. You wait and see when we floor them. And they shall know that Jesus is Lord. Let me tell you. They are going to know Jesus is Lord. Eh? Like we are here to show the world that Jesus is Lord. That is why we are here. To prove it to everybody that Jesus is Lord. So that we take out that stupidity of Bachwezi and what? And all those things that. And now there are even some fellowships here where they teach the Bible, but you can see there is a Bachwezi angle like this. There's a Bachwezi angle. You see, you can see people are very comfortable with certain fellowships, especially those which meet on Thursday. The Bachwezi are very comfortable with what? They cannot come here. Because they will be uncomfortable here. Here we don't worship the God of man, what? The Jesus of what? Of us. Or there is another Jesus, there is another who used to pray also for Man City. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready for Holy Communion? I want the spirit of discernment. You use discernment in everything. If you feel that something is not right, just don't force it. Let me tell you, don't force. Don't force. I used to force things because you want to believe the best of everybody. You want to believe everybody has good intentions. They don't. Even some who are here just to spy on us. and we can pick them out. And they are from those Thursday people. But you see, you leave them to think that they are very sharp. Praise the Lord. You see, when you serve the devil, you are very unsure about everything. You have no comfort. You have to keep on spying. Can you imagine me sending people to spy for any other fellowship? Based on what? I am very comfortable in my skin. I know whom I serve. And, you know, let me not even look in the direction of that person from Thursday. Otherwise, I might pick her up, and she's a lady. I might pick her up and say something. Praise the Lord. She's a lady. Praise the Lord. I pray she just cuts off. Because if she doesn't, it's going to be bad. Anyway. Give out the Holy Communion. In the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine for this purpose of Holy Communion, the body and the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the provision of this, and even as we partake of it in accordance with your word, we believe that we connect to the fullness of the reality of the New Testament. In the name of Jesus, we believe that everybody here that has any sickness, it is healed now. We believe we connect to divine health through this Holy Communion. In the name of Jesus, divine health for everybody in Jesus' name. Even those who are not sick, walk in divine health and they do not fall sick. In the name of Jesus. And as we partake of this blood, we also believe, Father, that everything that the blood of purchased for us, we walk in it, we acknowledge it. We acknowledge that we have the righteousness of Christ. We acknowledge that we have the wealth and the fullness of Christ in us, in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ is in us here today as we partake of this Holy Communion. In the name of Jesus, that we believe that the Lord is revealed to us in a special way here today, in Jesus' name. Now, as you partake of your bread, proclaim divine health upon your body. Right now, I receive divine health upon this body of mine, and if sickness, it is flushed out now as I partake of this Holy Communion. In Jesus' name. Now, even as we partake of this wine in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the connection to the fullness of Jesus in our lives. The fullness of everything that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. We walk in it and we believe for it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, you can take it. He's the one who buys this wine. Like you're the one who buys this one. Yeah? I tell them to use Ribena. But for you, you get the real thing. This is it. But I prefer the real thing. You know why? Because that's what the Bible says. Eh? Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 11? That some of you eat before others, others drink a lot and get drunk. Remember that? They don't get drunk on Ribena. That's what the Bible says. So we have to follow the what? The scripture. Huh? It says, for in eating, each one takes his supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and the other is what? He's drunk. That's what the Bible says. So they are not drunk on Ribena or on soda. In any case, none of those who was there 2,000 years ago. Hosea Raibena 2000 years. We stick on the word. On the what the word says is what we do. Praise the Lord. Anyway, anybody has a testimony? Yes. Come. Doros.
This is not my testimony. It's my son's testimony. Terrence. Stand up and they see you. It's your testimony. I've been walking around with these documents. He was diagnosed with anemia at 2 years. And he kept getting sick. So it's an old testimony. In 2023, he was sick. He was complaining of so many things, headache, weakness. So we took him for a test, and it was still the same problem, anemia. And I remember they gave him it was a supplement, but he didn't like it was liquid. So I think it was on Thursday or Friday, I went and got him tablets. Iron tablets. Now, that fellowship, you called out people who have problem, blood diseases related to the blood, and I remember he came up. So you prayed for him, and I think you told us all to go and get tests, which I never did. But when we reached home, he refused to take the iron tablets. He said, the watchman has prayed for me, so I'm not taking any more supplements. So somehow, I never went for checkup until some months back, we went for checkup. He's not been on any supplements, and the results are here. No more. Yeah. So the range, the normal range is 13 to 16.
And what is it?
14.7.
Normal range is 13 to 16.
Yes, and his is 14.7.
Wow, wonderful. But you should have given the testimony. Huh? Is what? How old are you? 14. Come and give the testimony. Isn't this a guy who? The one who what? So now his results are no more. Amen. What's your name?
My name is Terrence.
Terrence.
Eh?
Yes. Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, they have already given us a testimony, so. You can go and see. We just wanted to see your face. Any other? By the way, now I'm praying for people who don't have jobs. If you don't have a job, you stand up. And if you are looking for one, there are some who don't want a job and they don't have. But if you are looking for one, stand up. Or even a better one than the one you have. This is an unemployment bureau. No, we are going to believe God. Oh. This month. What's the day today? First. This month, a miracle is coming to you. Amen? A job miracle. This month of August. Praise the Lord. Receive it. Anybody to receive? So you know, I want you to receive this word with faith and live here and say, this month I'm going to have received the job. Okay, I'm going to receive a job, and I'm even seeing somebody who by 15th you'll have an appointment letter. By 15th you have an appointment letter, but all of you by the end of this month. Now, next Holy Communion, I want all of you to come and testify that I'm now working, or now I have a better job. Michelle, where do you work? What? You're a minister. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have you received this? I want you to be serious. I want you to receive it. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive my job. I receive my better job. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you.
That was the Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta, Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Washman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.